Today's Shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Mem Dalad. We will begin in Mitzvah Shem, Bezer Hashem, Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, at the bottom of the Amud, 2 lines from the bottom, with the Gemara. Yesterday we learned in the Mishnah that after the Kohen Gadol shechted the Parah, on which he's going to the Parah, that he's first said his Vidui and the Vidui for Klal Yisrael, the Gemara said that he gave it to blood after he did the Kabbalah Saddam, to somebody who would hold it and constantly stir it. And that person would stand on the fourth step we learned in the Heichal. Ask the Gemara Vaksiv, didn't the Torah teach us, V'chal Adam la yir ba'il mayid, that no one is allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash, but ba'il l'chapel ha'kodesh atzei soy, that nobody is allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah. So how could this individual be standing there and stirring the dam when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Tani, the way to understand the Mishnah, when he stood there, he meant was Shel Heichel. He's standing from outside the Heichel, 4 steps down. So according to this, he wasn't actually standing in the Beis HaMikdash. He was standing outdoors, and therefore it's not a violation of the halacha that nobody's allowed to be there during that time. So the Be'iri asks a question, that isn't there a halacha that one may not go into the Heichel or Be'iri Kanis? So you only could go into the Beis HaMikdash when you have a purpose for being so. So anyway, you were not allowed to be inside on Yom Kippur. So the Meiri answers that the entire Issa of a Be'iri Kanis is only if somebody walks in through the front door. But if somebody would walk in not through the front door, it wouldn't be considered a Be'iri Kanis. And therefore, he could technically be there. But now we have a new problem of a Chal Adam La'yeh Ba'il Mo'ed. Nobody's allowed to be in the Ohel Moed when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah. Tarabonim. So the Gemara delves into this halacha. The Torah HaKadosh says, V'chal Adam la'yeh ba'Ohel Moed. No one may not be in the Ohel Moed. Yochel afilu ba'azara, that you may not be in the Azara either when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah. Tamalaymer ba'Ohel Moed. The Isser is in the Ohel Moed, in the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim that are considered Ohel Moed, the Zara is not Osir. Ainli Ela B'Ohel Moed, Shebemidbar. Maybe that's where this halach would apply. However, B'Shiloi Beis Olamim, that Menayin, that this halacha applies there as well. Tamalayim B'Voyu L'Chapa B'Kodesh. Anywhere which is considered in the category, and Kodesh has the halacha that you may not be there. So Tosfos, in quoting this Gemara, says that our Gemara is suggesting that there's a difference between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan. Why? Why would we think that they're different? Don't we normally say Mikdash Ikri Mishkan, Mishkan Ikri Mikdash, that they're equivalent? So Tosfos explains here we would not necessarily say that. The Beis HaMikdash has in it the Chumrah, that it has a Kedusha Olamis, that its Kedusha is there forever, whereas the Ohel Moed was not forever. On the other hand, if the Torah would have only said the Halacha by the Mishkan, we couldn't learn Mikdash from Mishkan, because the Mishkan had a special Kedusha in it, that it was Nimshach B'Shemen HaMishcha, that it was the Kedusha was brought upon it with the Shemen HaMishcha. And we know that a person who's Tamei has to stay away from that Shemen. And therefore it has in it that Chumrah. And therefore they had to have a Pasuk, says Tosfos, separately for the Mikdash and separately for the Mishkan. So the Mikdash David asks, why isn't there a Limud? We only speak about Shiloi. But we know that when Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael, there was also a Mishkan in Noiv and Givin. And the question is, why are Noiv and Givin not mentioned? Why are Noiv and Givin also not mentioned here, asked the Migdash David. So answered the Migdash David, since there was no Aron there, so there's no Aron, the Hazon, the Akhtara that took place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur did not take place there if there was no Aron. So the question is, but we learned in the Beis HaMikdash Sheni there was no Aron either. So if there's no Aron, how did they have that? How did they have that Zohar by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni? So I saw that the answer is, by the Beis HaMikdash Sheni, they actually had the Aron, but they decided to be goinazit. They decided to hide it. It's different when they decide to hide it versus when they don't have it at all. Only, continues the Braisa, only Ela B'Shas HaKtorah. I would think only B'Shas HaKtorah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's when there's halacha that no one else may be in the Beis HaMikdash. B'Shas Matan Damim, when we know, as we just mentioned, they put the Dam of the Par and the Dam of the Sor on the Kodesh HaKadoshim and on the Proiches in the Kodesh HaKadoshim and on the Proiches on the Mizbech Azov, Menayin, that this halacha applies during those times as well. Tamaloyma Bevoya L'chaper. Anything that affects Kapara, the halacha is that no one else may not be there at that time. Maybe when he's going to do the Avoida, or while the Kohen Gadol is actually doing the Avoida. Ask the Gemara, how do we know that no one else may be there when the Kohen is leaving the Beis HaMikdash as well? No one may be there until he finishes doing the Avoida. And as the Gevurah Ari explains, the Torah says, Atseisoi. What did the Torah have to say, Atseisoi? To teach us the duration, the amount of time that no one may be allowed to be there. The Malbim says that the Torah could have used the word Bitseisoi. Why did the Torah say, Atseisoi? The Torah used the word Atseisoi, says the Malbim, to teach us at Seisoi, until he's completely finished going out, then and only then could someone else go in. The Pasuk says, V'chipa ba'adoi ba'ad beisoi ba'ad k'al Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Kaparosoi kedems kaparos beisoi. First, we take care of the Kohen Gadol having a kapara. Before kaparos beisoi, we've explained, means his wife. Kaparos Then we think then his wife's kapara is affected, and then the kaparas echav kahanim kedems the kaparas kol Yisrael. First the kapara on the rest of kahanim, and then only the kapara on kol Yisrael. That's the sequence of the kaparas that are taken care of. And the Gevurah Ari explains that the Brayis is talking about the Ketoros as well, that first, the Kohen brought the par. The par was brought for himself, and then only the Sar Lashem was brought for Klal Yisrael. And then the Ketoros, which was brought for all of Klal Yisrael as well. Amama Enli Ela B'Shas HaKtara. I would know that nobody is allowed to be there. We learned in the Braisa that nobody is allowed to be in the Beis HaMikdash when they do the Akhtara, my Mashma. Why would we think that it's speaking specifically about the Ketoros? Why would we assume that the Ketoros is the Avoida when no one else may be there? The Pasuk says, V'chipa ba'adu ba'ad beis ba'ad kol Yisrael. Ezu kapara, as we just learned, which of the various Avoidas that the Kohen Gadol does in Yom Kippurim, does it affect everybody equally? That all of Klal Yisrael are affected equally? The Ketoros, we don't have these different degrees. It's everybody in Klal Yisrael at the same time. Ask the Gemara, the Ketoros Mechaperis, is Ketoros a Mechaper? Says the Gemara, in. Ketoros does affect Kapara. The Atani of Chananya, Ledmandu Ketoros Mechaperis. Where do we learn that Ketoros is Mechaper? Shenemar, the Pasuk says, when in Parashas Korach, when there was Negev and Bnei Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. So the pasuk says, "V'yikach Aaron kashadiv and Moshe v'yoretz altoich hakol v'nehechol haNegev ba'om." And says the pasuk, "V'yitnei sektaris v'chapal om." When Klal Yisrael were in this mortal danger, Aaron knew by bringing the ktaris he could affect a kapara. But Tanya Rebbe Shmuel. So Rishmal takes this a step further and says, Amal Ketaris Mechaperis, exactly what is the Ketaris Mechapa for? Lashon Hara. It's Mechapa for Lashon Hara. Yovedavish Bechashoy, as we know, the Ketaris is brought Bechashoy in a very concealed way. Nobody sees it. It's brought in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's brought, as we just keep on learning, when no one else is there. So it's done in the most quiet way possible. The chaper amasach hashoy, it's to be mechaper on things that are done quietly. We know when people speak lashon hara, they typically say it in a quiet way. People shouldn't hear what they're saying. That's why the Torah says, that's why it makes sense the Torah says mechaper on that. Even though, point out, the Rishonim, that the matan dam of the other Kabbanis was also done by Chashoy, was also done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but they explained that the Torah, as we've spoken and will and Mishem still speak about, the Torah is very clear in telling us what they are Mechapa for. They're Mechapa for Tumas Migdash for Kadoshav. So that there's no question what the Kabbanis are being brought for. Here, it's not so obvious, and that's why we say this. That's why we say this lima that has come to Mechaper on on the Avera of Lashon Hara. Moreover, the Mefarshim ask that here it says that the Ketairus is Mechaper on Lashon Hara. The Gemara, Masechta Erevchin, the Gemara Masechta Zvachim, both ask that it says that the Me'il was Mechaper on Lashon Hara. So what is Mechapa on Lashon Hara? So Gemara answers, Kam Betzina, Kam Befresia. The Lashon Hara that said Betzina, the Taurus is Mechapa. And Lashon Hara that said Befresia, that said publicly, the Mil is Mechapa. But the question is, the story of Kairach was a story that happened publicly. And even though it was a story that happened publicly, as we started this piece of Gemara, it says that Aaron HaKohen brought the Ketairus for that. So why was the Ketairus the Kapara for that Lashon Hara? The Mil should be the Kapara. So the Mefarshim answers that in that Lashon Hara, it ended actually Beferesia, but it started with Betzina. People were murmuring against Moshe, against Aaron, and then it ultimately spread to Phoresia. That's why they had to have the kapara of the Ketairus, which is a kapara for Lashon Hara, which is Betzina. Because, explains the Chavetz Chaim, that if you see that Lashon Hara is being spoken publicly, you should know it started quietly, and you need the kapara for that beginning of the Avera. And that's why when the Kohen Gadol, and the Chavetz Chaim goes on to explain, think about it, the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim only once a year on Yom Kippur. And what did he need to bring the Kapar for? What was the Avera that we needed to think about, that is what we need the most Kapara, the Slicha? That was Lashon Hara. That first, because that is, we're all Averis, especially, he says, Ben Adam L'Chaveri begin. So if we start with having Kapara on Lashon Hara, then we could continue having Kapara on all other Averis. And since, as we're learning, that Ketairus has the ability to be Mechaper on Lashon Hara, it's important, if at all possible, to say Ketairus, say the Parsha of Ketairus every day. Because when one says the Parsha of Ketairus every day, if Chas V'Shalom, he said Lashon Hara, he should have a Kapara. We don't have the actual Kapara Ketairus anymore, but I'll have a Kapara through bringing the Ketairus. Moreover, if we see, as we quoted in our Gemara, that by saying the Ketairus, by bringing the Ketairus, Aaron HaKohen was able to prevent the Negev. He was able to prevent this terrible pandemic that was taking place in Klal Yisrael. So too, if Klal Yisrael or the world is faced with these types of tzaros, there are many that suggest that saying the Ketairus can help prevent it from spreading. So we've discussed just now that one may not be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Gadol does the Avodah. We also discussed previously that the Azara had many different parts to it. The first part of the Azara was the Ezras Noshim, and after that came the different Azaras, the Ezras Yisrael, the Ezras Kohanim, and afterwards the Mizbeach, and afterwards there was an area between the Ulam and Mizbeach, between the Ulam, which is the room, the foyer that you enter before you go into Kodesh. Then you have the Kodesh, then you have the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then you have the area behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Tanan Hosam. So the Mishnah says the Gemara, Masech the Kalim, Perek Aleph Mishnah Tes. Om Rabbi Yossi, B'chavmish Dvarim, B'na Ula Mizbeach, in five areas of Halacha, the space that was between the Ula Mizbeach, Shavu L'Heichel, is similar to, the Halacha of that area is similar to the Halacha of the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Halacha is that somebody who's Rachman Son of Baal Mum, or Puri Rosh, he didn't cut his hair properly. Shesui Yayin, he didn't drink, he drank wine. Or somebody who didn't wash his hands and his feet may not go into that area. Here we have four ways that the area of Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach is the same as the area of the Heichel. And the fifth thing is, Parshim Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, that the 22 Amis of the area Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach must be left empty B'Sha'as HaKtorah. Just like in Alarbi, in the Beis HaMikdash itself, during the bringing of the Ketoris, so may you not be in that area. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Lozer, says Rabbi Lozer on that halacha, Loishan, when is this said that no one may be in that area when they're doing the Ketoris? Ella, B'Sha'as HaKtar DeHechel. As we know, every day they brought Ketoris in the Kodesh, in the morning and the afternoon. So the Gemara, and the Mishnah over there is teaching us that when that is being done, no one may be in the Heichel itself, nor may they be in the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach. Abishas Haktar Lufnai Lufnim. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol does Haktarah and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Meheichel, the Heichel, which is right next to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Parshi, no one may be there. However, in the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach, Loi Parshi, they don't have to be separated from that area. And the reason is because if they're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so they're not allowed to be in the Kodesh, but the Ulam Mizbeach is so far away, that's why they don't have to be separated. Says, ask the Ritva, but he doesn't understand this din. The Ritva says, the Torah tells us that no one should be in the Kodesh when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So midoraisa, no one may be in the Heichel. So since there's a din doraisa as the Ritva, that no one may be in the Heichel during that time, so why don't the Rabbanon make Gzeira and say that the area Beina Ulam LaHeichel, Beina Ulam Ulam Mizbeach, should also be vacated? So he answers that, he gives a number of answers. One answer he answers is that since the Ketoris that's done, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is so Kodesh, it's done once a year, we're not concerned that if somebody's going to be in the area of the between the Ulam L'Mizbeach, he may dare enter into the Heichel. Another answer, he says, that since the Kodesh HaKadoshim is so distant from the area of Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, we're not worried that anybody's going to walk so far. Another explanation he gives, and it goes back to something, to a concept that we've discussed numerous times in this Masechta. There was a serious concern that the Kohen Gadol, Chas V'Sholem, may be at Stoiki and is not bringing the Ketoris properly in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As we know, there was a big machlokes between the Purushim and the Tzedokim, how the Ketoris should be prepared. The Tzedokim felt that it should be prepared outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and be brought in that way already after it was prepared. The Prushim, we held that it should be prepared in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And since they lived in this constant concern that maybe the Kohen Gadol is a tzedakah, and maybe he's preparing it the wrong way. If the Kohen Gadol will know that the people are so distant from him that nobody can even be in the area Bein Ulam u'Mizbeach, there will not be a deterrent that in case he's not the way he's supposed to be, there will be nothing to deter him from doing it the wrong way. But if he knew that the people who are left, who are standing in the area Bein Ulam u'Mizbeach, they possibly may see what he's doing, and that will deter him from bringing it in the wrong way. Ask the Gemara. The Braisa here discusses the halacha when they put the dam of the kabbonis. Certain kabbonis, the dam was put on the mizbeach apnimi. Ask the Gemara. Masav Rav Adabar Hava Vamrele Bechdi. Bechdi means that it's anonymously. Some say Kadi was the name of one of the Tanoim. Rav Yossi Omer, we learned in a Braisa, Shem Shaparshim and Mulam Mizbeach B'Shas HaKtara, just like no one was allowed to be in the area of Beit Ulam Mizbeach when they did a Ketoris, Kach Parshim B'Shas Matan Parakoy Mashiach, when they brought a carbon called a Parakoy Mashiach, that's a par that the Kohen Gadol brings if he said something which has an Issa Chorus. He said, is not Osir, and they followed his psak, or Parhelm Dovish Tzibur is a carbon that's brought when the Tzibur did an Isser for which there's a Chiv Chorus based on an erroneous psak of Bezdin, or Siri Avodah Kochavim, when the Tzibur worshipped Avodah Zarah, again, based on an erroneous psak of Bezdin, that the halach is that they have to bring a par la'oila and a sar la'chatas. All of these three kabbonis are considered par manasrafim, v'nsar manasrafim, that the halach is not like by most kabbonis, where the dam, where the blood of those kabbonis is put on the mizbeach achitzin. The dam of these kabbonis were sprinkled k'neged ha'proiches, facing the curtain that separated the Kodesh and the Kodesh Gedoshim, and then they put the dam on the corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, and then they would burn the fats of those animals on the Mizbeach HaChitzin, and the rest of the animal was burned Mechutz L'machna. And the halacha is, when these hazars took place, no one may be neither in the Kodesh nor in the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach. So we see that just like there's a din, a prisha, during these things, so too, by the Yom Kippur, when they brought these kabbonis, the pavasar, there should be prisha. Says the Gemara, says the Braisa, ha, ma mala yesh ben hechel ben ulam mizbeach, what's the difference between the Kodesh, that area, versus the area of ben ulam mizbeach, el shvehechel parashim, ben mishasak tarah, ben shloi mishasak tarah. The hechel, you have to be now to be there both when they're doing that Torah or when they're not doing that Torah. Bein Ulam Mizbeach ein parshim el b'shas haktara. But the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach, you can't be there when they're doing that Torah. But when you're doing the matan damim of the par and tsar of Yom Kippur, you don't have to. You can't be in the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach. But what does it say here? B'shas haktara. That when they're doing the Akhtar on Yom Kippur, Mir Parshi, you must be sequestered and not just not be in the Heichel, but your name might be even in the area of Bein Ulam Mizbeach. And my love, says the Gemara, isn't the Brice referring to B'Shas Akhtar Dulfnai Lefnim? That when they're doing the Akhtaris in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Brice here is teaching us that not only must you be removed from the Kodesh, no one may be in the Kodesh, but no one may be either in the area of Beit Ulam Mizbeach. But Rabbi Lozer said that when they did this in the when they did the Akhtar in the Lefnai Lefnim, you're not allowed to be in the Hechel, but you may be in the area of Beit Ulam Mizbeach. So isn't this Brice clearly different than what Rabbi Lozer said? Says the Gemara Loi, it's not referring to the Akhtar that's done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. When the Ktiris was done at the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the only place that where no one may be is in the Hechel. Here we're talking about Hashtas Akhtar the Hechel. They did Akhtar every day in the Beis HaMik, in the Kodesh, on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Then, when they're doing Ktiris on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Everybody must be removed, not only from the Heichel, not only from the Kodesh, but they also have to be removed from the area of Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach. Ihachi asked the Gemara, if that's the halacha, that during the time of the Akhtara, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you don't have to be separated from the area of Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, Hamamal V'Sula, is that the only difference that in the priesthood that there is between the Kodesh and the Ulam Mizbeach, the Shas Matan Domim, aren't there any other nafkaminas? There's another nafkamina. Dila mehekel parashi, bein b'shas haktara d'day, or bein b'shas haktara d'lefnei l'fnim. From the hekel, you're not allowed to be neither during the time they're bringing the ketores of that's in the base of Mikdash, or whether they're doing the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'ilu b'nei ulam mizbeach loy parashi el b'shas haktar d'heichel. But when they're doing the Ketores in the Lefnai Lefnim, they're only not allowed to be in the Kodesh, but they may be in the Heichel. So why doesn't the Gemara mention that nafkamina? Haktani answers the Gemara, that is exactly what the Braisa meant. El sh'b'heichel parashi b'nei b'shas haktar b'nei sh'loy b'shas haktar. B'shas haktar means when they're doing a Ketores in the Heichel. Shloi b'shas haktar means when they're doing l'fnai and l'fnim. Bein ulam mizbeach, whereas the area bein ulam mizbeach ain't parshim ella b'shas haktara of the kodesh. But when they're doing the haktara l'fnai and l'fnim, they can be in the area bein ulam mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, if we're learning now that when they did the ketores in the kodesh hakadoshim, you may stand in the area between ulam mizbeach. So why, asked the Gemara, did the Braisa say that the difference between the Heichel and Ulam Mizbeach is the difference between when the Ketores is being bought, Vikam Hamala? There's another difference. Dilam Heichel Parashi, Beim Kedusha the day, and Beim Kedusha Lefnei Lefnim, Vilam Beim Mizbeach, Le Parashi Al Kedusha the Heichel, only when they're doing it in the Ketores. If we're going to say that always you have to be away from the Ulam Mizbeach, that's, and the only difference is regarding the Shas Matan Domim Shlefnai Lefnim, that's when you don't have to separate, then there is no difference between the Heichel and the Ulam Mizbeach. And it's talking about the Ketores, but otherwise, how do we understand this? And it says, the Gemara, Amar Rav Hashem Prisha Achasi. Since under certain circumstances you have to be separated, at certain circumstances indeed you don't have to be separated. The Gemara is not going into all the details, and what the Gemara means, Rashi says, is to mean that just like there's a chiyuv to separate from the heichel when you're doing haktar in the kodesh kedoshim, so too there's a chiyuv to separate from the ulam mizbeach when you're doing haktar in the heichel. But we didn't go into the details. Omar. So Braisa says, "Shem shparshim be'enul mizbeach b'shas haktara, kach parshim b'shas matan bar koy mashiach or par helm dover shatziba v'sir everes kuchavim." Ask the Gemara, "Menolon, how do we know these are not kabbonis that are Yom Kippur kabbonis? These are kabbonis that are brought all year round. If those circumstances come up, the din that somebody that no one should be there is said on Yom Kippur." As we quoted in Amud Aleph, the pasuk says, "V'chol adam lo yia ba'ol moed, v'ba'ay v'chap v'kodesh tzeisai." So it's talking about the ketores of Yom Kippur, and it's talking about the par and sar of Yom Kippur. How do we know to apply this halacha not strictly to Yom Kippur? Answers the Gemara, "Amar Pdos Asya kapara kapar mi Yom Kippurim." It's learned through a gzeir shava. By on Yom Kippur, it says, as we just read, "L'chba'ay l'chaper." And by the parm asirim nesrafim, it also uses the word kapara. By the sar avadis kachavim, the Torah uses the words v'chiper akoyin al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. By the par helm dovish otzibur, the Torah says v'chiper aleim akoyin. By the par koyin mashiach, even though there the Torah does not use the word kapara, but we can learn the par koyin mashiach from the par helm dovish otzibur, because the Torah, when it speaks about the par koy mashiach, it says, "Vos lapar, that par, the par koy Mashiach, should be treated So since the Torah connects these two parim, the par koy Mashiach and the par helm dovish at Tzibur, so if the Torah uses the words kapar by the par helm dovish at Tzibur, from which we learn that you may not be in the Kodesh when they're being brought, so we teach it, we extrapolate that so too will be the halacha by the par koy Mashiach. Amar of Acha bar Ahava, that we're learning that even when we speak about the Azara, that there's an area in the Azara, as we just finished learning, that certain times the Kohen, nobody may be there during that time that the Avodah is taking place. And we learned, it's talking about the Ulam L'Mizbeach, Shmamina, Malos, that the Mishnah, in Masech Kalim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Ches, and Mishnah Tes, teaches us there are different levels of Kedusha when we speak about this entire area. And to review what it says there that the Har HaBayis is Mekudesh, is holier than the rest of Yerushalayim. Because Zoven and Zovis and Nidos and Yoldos may not enter the Har HaBayis. The Chil is even more Kodesh than the Har HaBayis because Goyim and Tmei Meis may not enter the Chil. They may enter the Har HaBayis. The Ezras Nashim is even a higher level because the Tfilyoim may not enter the Ezras Nashim, but there's no Chiv Chattis if he did. The Ezras Yisrael is even holier because a person who's Mechusa Kippurim, a person who's Mechuyva Karbin, who did not yet bring it, may not enter there. And if somebody did enter it there when he wasn't supposed to, he's Chayiv Chattis. The Ezras Kahanim is even holier. A Yisrael may not go into that area unless he's bringing a carbon, and that's where he stood when he did smicha on his carbon, or if the Yisrael is shechting his carbon or is doing tenuf on his carbon, that's where he stood. The area of Beit Ulam Mizbeach is even on a holier level because Allah is a Balmum and a Puri Rosh may not enter there. The Heichel is even a higher level, that you're not allowed to enter there unless you had Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. And the Kodesh HaKadoshim is the holiest of the holy, that we know that only a Kohen Gadol could enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim once a year on Yom Kippur when he went in to do the Avodah. Says the Gemara, the Raisa. These levels that we just identified are Midaraisa. Vachi Gemara Hilu, and the Chamim had a Halacha L'Mosh Mesinai, that's how to interpret how to apply the different levels. If we're going to say that all of these levels that we just identified are only midrabanan, and we're going to say that the area Beit Ulam Mizbeach and the rest of the Azara is really one level of kedusha, Maishno, why did Chacham say that when the Ketaris is being offered, you're not allowed to stand Beit Ulam Mizbeach? Because we're worried, that maybe somebody's going to walk into the base of Mikdash. So if it's only a din the Rabbanon, ask the Gemara, so then the Rabbanon should have said, Mikula Azara Nifreshu, that when the Ketaris is being brought, the entire Azara, no one should be there, for the same concern that we need to concern the Mikra V'Olu, that somebody's going to walk into the base of Mikdash. If we're saying that the entire Azara is considered one level Kedusha. So it's considered one level of Kedusha. It's all considered one category. So if it's all considered one category, whatever the halacha is, Ben Ulam Mizbeach, the same halacha should be on the entire Azara, since there's nothing separating. It must be that Midaraisa, they are different levels. And since Midaraisa, they're considered different levels, we can make a Gzeira on one spot versus the other spot. Answers the Gemara, that isn't true. It could be that the Midaraisa, they're all one level. So if Midaraisa, they're all one level, so why are we distinguishing between the area of Beit Ulam Mizbeach and the rest of the Azara? Says the Gemara, Beit Ulam Mizbeach, Kim Delay Mishkamidi. There's nothing that is in between stopping you from entering from directly Beit Ulam Mizbeach into the base of Mikdash, Loy Minker Milsa, and therefore we're concerned that somebody will accidentally walk directly in while the Ketaris is being offered in the Kodesh. However, the Azara, when it comes to walk from the Azara into Beis HaMikdash, Kivan the Ikka Mizbeach Hachitzin the Mafsik, you have the Mizbeach Hachitzin that will separate you, so you'll have to walk around the Mizbeach to get into the Beis HaMikdash. That will be a way for you to remember and start thinking and recognize and realize that you should not be walking into the Beis HaMikdash when the Torah is being offered, Minkra Milsa. That will be a reminder for you to stay away. Amar Rava, the Shema Minah, Kedushas Ulam V'Heichel, Chada Milsihi. As we've mentioned previously, in the Beis HaMikdash, you had a Ulam and then a Heichel. The first you, as you enter the Beis HaMikdash, the first area you enter is the Ulam. The Ulam was 16 amos wide, and then you had the Heichel, and then after the Heichel, you had the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Gemara, the area of the Ulam, the Heichel, presumably is one Kedusha. Because this Akadatach, if we're going to say that the area of the Ulam and the area of the Heichel, Shtei Kedushas Nenu, that are not on the same level, Ulam Guf Gzeira. So let's think about it. Technically, when the Torah is being brought in the Heichel, so as we keep on repeating and learning in today's shir, no one may be in the Heichel when the Torah is being brought. So we want to make a Gzeira and keep people away. So we'll tell them, don't go to the Ulam. Why would we expand it and say that not only may you not be in the Ulam, you're not allowed to be in the area of the Ulam Ulam Mizbeach? And let's explain this a little better. Throughout Halacha, there's a concept of Chazal, and Chazal were charged with the Raisa to do this, to make Gezeris, assume Mishmeris L'Mishmarati, to make rules to make sure the din of the Torah was protected. So the din of the Torah is that no one is allowed to be in the Heichel when the Torah is being offered. So to make sure that that rule is not being violated, Chazal would tell you, don't even be in an area where you're allowed to be. So if we'll say that the Ulam and the Heichel are one level, so then we could understand why Chazal now went and said that Bein Ulam u'Mizbeach, which is clearly part of that area, is clearly part of the Azara. It's not part of the Beis HaMikdash proper. You shouldn't be there. A gzeira not to walk into the Beis HaMikdash. But if we're going to learn that the Ulam itself is not really considered the same as the Kodesh, so Chazal will make a gzeira, don't be in the Ulam when the Torah is being brought in the Heichel. But why would they then make a gzeira and say that not only are we not allowed to be in the Ulam, we're even not allowed to be in the Ulam in the area Ben Ulam and Mizbeach? Wouldn't that be considered a gzeira, which Chazal don't do? And the Gemara says inside, Ulam, if we say that the Ulam and the Heichel are not considered equivalent, so the halacha, that one may not be in the Ulam when the Torah is being brought, is a gzeira. And now we're going and making gzeira, v'nekem, v'nigz gzeira, that even the area Ben Ulam and Mizbeach you're not allowed to be in? Says the Gemara Loi. Ulam, Bein Ulam Mizbeach had the Kedushahi. There's no proof that the Ulam and the Heichel are one level. It could be that the Ulam is a lower level. But if the Ulam is a lower level, so the Gzeir is on the Ulam, how did Chazal go and make a Gzeir even on the area of Ben Ulam Mizbeach? Says the Gemara, because the Ulam and the area of the Ulam Mizbeach is one level. But indeed, the Heichel and the Ulam are Shtei Kedushas. So therefore, it's not a Gzeir L'Gzeira, because the area of the Ulam and the area of Ben Ulam Mizbeach are one, and when they made the Gzeira, that was all one place that they made the Gzeira. So the Gemara is not clear, and how do we treat this? Are they the same or not? What are the equal areas? Is the Ulam and the Heichel equal, or is the Ulam and the Ben Ulam Mizbeach equal? We learned in the Mishnah, B'chol Yom HaYichotu B'shal Kesef, every day they would take the coals off the Mizbeach with a silver shovel and then put it into a gold shovel. And Yom Kippur, they didn't do so. Ask the Gemara, why every day when they used the shovel, did they use a silver shovel? Why didn't they use a gold shovel? Answers. The Gemara, Atayra Chasa Mamanim Shal Yisrael. There's a concept that Torah is concerned about Mamanim Shal Yisrael. And the Gemara throughout Shas brings two rayas to this. One is, the Torah Kedosha says that if one is concerned that his house is has saras, so the only one that could halachically identify that an area is saras is the Kohen. But the Torah says, Ufinu es habayis, they should clear out the house before the Kohen comes. And the reason is, because once the Kohen comes, and if he's going to say that the house is saras, everything in the house is tameh. So the Gemara goes on to explain. So if it's tameh, what's the issue? So the Gemara says, if you have metal utensils and vessels in the house, even if the Kohen declares the house as tameh, those vessels could be put into a mikveh and they will be tahor. But kli cheres, earthenware, are not able to be taken to a mikveh to become tahor. Shviroson zuh tarason. The only way they become tahor is by breaking them. So ufinu sabayis gives us the Torah instruction, clear out the house of those kalim, so if the Kohen will come and say that the house is tameh, it's not tameh until the Kohen makes that declaration, and we will have been able to save those klicheres. Now, klicheres are very inexpensive, yet we see that the Torah, by giving us these instructions of finu as abayis, was concerned about even those inexpensive kalim, they should not become tamei and then have to be broken. Another raya, Atara Chasa Hashemanim Shisrael, because the Torah says that Hashem says, Veshkisas Ve'iram, weren't only concerned about giving water to people, but even animals. Again, because these are animals owned by Klai Yisrael, and we're worried about the Mammon Shal Yisrael. So here too, we use the silver shovel. The shovel got ruined on a regular basis because they were used for hot coals, to shovel hot coals. So that's why they used a silver keli, not a gold keli. Of course, the Mefarshim ask, here we see the concept of a Torah Chosim Amanim Shal Yisrael. The Torah is concerned about the money of Klai Yisrael. Ask the Tveris Yisrael that we also have a concept that the Gemara often says, that Ein Anias for Makam Ashiris. They were not concerned about money. They did everything in a very lavish, grand fashion. So how do we reconcile these two concepts? On one hand, the Torah Chasam Manim Shal Yisrael, and on the other hand, Eid HaNiyas V'Makom Ashiris. So one shot that I saw, it depends if it's a Hefsa Merubah or Hefsa Mu'at. When it's a serious financial loss, then we say a Torah Chasam Manim Shal Yisrael. When it's not so serious, then we say Eid HaNiyas V'Makom Ashiris. Another pshat that the Ravitz suggests is that, yes, there's a concept of Eid HaNiyas V'Makom Ashiris. So, and on the other hand, there's a Torah Chasam Manim Shal Yisrael. So if we only follow the concept of a Torah Chasam Manim Shal Yisrael, we will use a wood shovel. On the other hand, we have the concept of Eid HaNiyas V'Makom Ashiris. So that's why we use a silver shovel, which is reconciled. Another nafka mina, the Tshuva Mahava wants to say there's a difference when it's the tzibur. A tzibur has to go in a grand fashion. A yochid, when we speak about a private individual, there we say Ein Anias V'Makom Ashiris. We learned B'chol Yom they used V'Yom HaYichot V'Shazav Abaya Machnas. They used the same shovel to take the coals off the mizbeach and take it into the base of Mikdash, the Kodesh Kedosh and Maitama, as we've said many times, Mishum Chosh, the Kohen Gadol, were worried that for the exhaustion of the Kohen Gadol, that he shouldn't have to go back and forth. B'chol Yom, we learned, they used Shal Arbas Kavim, they took a shovel of four Kavim, and then they poured it in, they poured it over to a shovel that holds three Kavim, and today, they used a shovel that of three Kavim, and that's the shovel that they went in with. Rabbi Yossi said that every day they did with a shovel of that held a saw, which is six kavin, and poured it into a shovel of three kavin. Tana, says the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechet Tamid teaches us that when they poured from the shovel of four kavin to the shovel of three kavin, the spaz like kav gecholim, so a kav of coal fell onto the earth. What do you do with that kav of coal, b'chabdim l'oven, they were swept into the drain that went out of the Beis HaMikdash. And of course, you didn't want to leave the coal on the floor, the hot coals on the floor of the Azara where the Kahanim walked barefoot and their feet should not, chas v'shalom, get burnt. Tani Chada, one brisa says that it was a kav of coals. It was from 4 to 3. So it was a kav of coals that were on the floor. V'tani idach kabayim. There were 2 kav of coals on the floor. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Mahakta Tani Kav. The Brisa says there was 1 kav of coals on the floor. It's following the opinion of the Rabbanan that said we started with 4, we ended up with 3. But ask the Gemara, Elahakta Tani Kabayim, the Brisa that says that we ended up with 2 kav of coals on the floor, Mani, Loi Rabbanan, because according to Rabbanan, as we just said, there was a kav of coals on the floor. V'loi Krab Yossi, because Rab Yossi says that we started with 6 kav, a saw, and we ended up with 3 kav. So there were 3 kav of coals on the floor. So whose opinion is it that there were 2 kav on the floor? Answers the Gemara. Amar of Chizda, Reb Shmuel ben Noish, Reb Yochanan ben Brakei, the Tanya, according to him, we started with a shovel of 4 kav and ended with a shovel of 2 kav. It can be found in the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. They used, when they took the coals off the Mizbech Achitzim, they took it off with a shovel that holds a saw midbaris, which is 6 kav, that based on the size of the measurements that they had in the midbar. But when they came to Yerushalayim, they added a 6th to all of the measurements. That means the saw of Yerushalayim is bigger than the saw of the midbar by a 6th. So that means that the saw in the midbar carried 5 kavim of Yerushalayim. So now we have very geschmack. If we start with a saw midbarius, is 6 kav, and then we pour it into shlosha kavim Yerushalmius, so that's if we measure with a saw Yerushalmius, we'll have 5 kav. We pour it into a shovel of 3 kav Yerushalayim, so 5 minus 3 equal 2. That's the 2 saw that was referred to. B'chal yoyim, says the Mishnah further, the shovel that was used for the Torah's Hayekveda, Hayekveda was heavy, Vayom Kala. Tana, B'chal Yoyim Hayekveda Gilda, Ova, every day it was made out of a thick gold. Here, Hayoyim Rach, they made it out of a thinner gold, so it should be easier for the Kohen Gadol to carry. B'chal Yoyim Hayekveda Tzara, every day the handle was shorter. Hayoyim Arucha, my Tama, Kadesh Yisroi, Shekoyim Mesayotai, the Kohen Gadol should put his hands under it, it should be easier for him to carry. Tana, B'chal Yoyim Lohayolai Nashtik, it did not have a Nashtik, Vayoyim Hayolai Nashtik. So there are many different pshatim what the Nashtik was. Divrei Ben Eskan, this is what the Ben Eskan taught us. Rash explains that the Nashtik was like a ring that they had at the head of the shovel that would make noise as the Kohen Gadol would enter with the Ketores. And as we've learned so extensively in our Shia today, they were very careful that nobody should be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Ketores is being brought. So this ring would serve as a way to make them all realize that the Kohen Gadol is entering with the Ketores and they should not be there at that time. Another pshat that Tosfos suggests is that they had like a leather covering around the handle of the shovel because it got very hot and the Kohen Gadol, it was held for quite a while until it was brought into the Beis HaMikdash. And since it was held there for such a long time, the handle gets hot. It's a metal, the heat travels. Therefore, it had this cover around it that it should be there to prevent the Kohen Gadol from burning his hand. Another pshat, that's Tosfos' pshat. The Ritva learns that there was a cover on top of the shovel, to keep the coals and the heat inside the shovel pot, not let it get dispersed. And the Meiri learns a 4th pshat, that there was a base on the bottom of the shovel. As we learned and will learn that the shovel was put down, but if it's not going to have a flat base, it could spill over, it could pour out. So, and we have in the shovel, especially in Yom Kippur, the exact amount of coals that we need. There's nothing extra, so it had a base on the bottom to prevent it from tilting and spilling.